ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For now, if you're set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions in 5 categories. Our categories tonight are category number 1, geography. Category number 2, a lick of paint. Category number 3, oranges and apples. Category number 4, Hungary, Hungary. And category number 5, hippos and rhinos. All right, geography, a lick of paint, oranges and apples, Hungary, Hungary, hippos and rhinos. John from Bundaberg is going to kick us off. G'day, John.
Hi.
Yes, John, that is you. Yes. I know. Not an enviable position. First ball.
Yes.
Shiny correct. As. Shiny as. Whole crowd on.
And I've got the sun in my eye.
And sun's in your eye. Whole crowd at your feet. And you only found out just before you took the crease that the injured fast bowler was not injured at all.
Correct.
So and what do you like? What do you like?
Before I bombed, just listening to the news, thoughts and prayers to everybody over there in the West Indies.
Oh,
and,
dear, dear, I know. I mentioned this just before the news, this monster storm, Melissa, hurricane approaching landfall in Jamaica in the next hour or so, they're saying.
Yeah, and it sounded like it was just about as quick as you on your Triumph, mate, like they're going to be getting some seriously big-time wind. So,
yeah. Approaching 300 k's an hour, this thing. Did you see that footage of a U.S. aeroplane flying into the eye of the hurricane? I don't know how they do that.
But I didn't, Phil. I don't watch a real lot of TV, mate.
Incredible pictures.
Let's go geography now that we've mentioned the
Now that we've mentioned Jamaica. Geography, question number 1. In which country is the city of Ahmedabad?
Whoa.
Ahmedabad.
Ahmed. With a H or an A?
No, an A. Ahmedabad.
Like a deer on the road with absolutely no eyes at all. Afghanistan.
Not Afghanistan.
Good evening, Phil.
Thanks, John. See you later. We probably had to get that one off the plate, didn't we? Sophie from Glen Iris. G'day, Soph.
Hi, Phil.
Question number 1. In which city is, which country is the city of Ahmedabad? It's not Afghanistan.
I don't really know, but I'm going to go with Pakistan.
And that one had to be got out of the way too, didn't it? You're doing so. I mean, you've done everyone a service here, Sophie. Because
thanks.
Good on you. Bye. See you later. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Matthew from Adelaide. Hello, Matthew.
Hello.
Hello to you. Question 1. We're in a category called geography. In which country is the city of Ahmedabad?
Pretty sure that's in India.
It is. Yes, the country of
Ahmedabad. Close to the other two.
Well, it sounds as though it could easily be in Afghanistan or Pakistan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Question number 2. We're in geography. If you like, or you could move. Lick of paint, oranges and apples, hungry, hungry, hippos and rhinos.
Let's stick with geography.
Staying with geography. Detroit is the largest city in which U.S. state?
Michigan.
Correct. Yes, Detroit is the largest city in the U.S. state of Michigan. All right, nice going. Smoothly off the mark into mid-morning, no problems whatsoever. On the text line, Vicky from Madigan said it was in Saudi Arabia. No, Vic. Lorella had India. I'm glad, Lorella. Brad from the ranch had India too. Marty from the Gong, good. Craig from Dudley Park. Lorella also had Michigan. Now, Matthew, do you want question number 3 to sit in geography as well?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Founded in 331 BC, what is the largest city on the Mediterranean by population?
That would have to be Istanbul.
Not correct.
Not correct.
No, not correct. Thank you. Bye-bye. Not correct. What is the largest city on the Mediterranean? Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trevor.
Hi, Phil. I think that would be Alexandria.
Correct. Yes, it is. Founded in 331 BC, the largest city on the Mediterranean by population is Alexandria.
Mm. Yes. Fella liked naming stuff after himself. Never been anyone else like that since, has there?
Well, he was a pretty able bloke, wasn't he? By the age of 32.
There's never been anybody in history who liked naming stuff after himself since then, has there?
Did you see that they're going to name the... Is he going to name the new ballroom on the east wing of the White House after himself? Someone said it's going to be called the Trump Ballroom. It may as well be. Question number four. We're in geography.
How many geogs have we got?
Two left.
Okay.
Name the two countries that border Lebanon.
Syria and Israel.
Correct. Syria and Israel. Very good. Jim from Butterham says Ahmedabad is in India. It's got a massive cricket stadium. Okay. Doesn't every big city in India have a massive cricket stadium, Jim? I imagine. Mm. Question number five. My texter says, Google, which is not necessarily accurate, says Western Star Butter, whilst owned by Fonterra in New Zealand, is still made in Victoria. Yeah, let's talk about the butter wars in our issues of the day later. Question number five, last one in geography, if you like.
Please.
Six out of every 10 lakes in the world are in which country?
Two possibilities, and I'm going to go Canada.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, Canada.
Canada.
Six out of every 10 lakes in the world are in Canada.
Again, not if a certain individual we were discussing before has his way.
What do you mean? Well, he'd take the lakes away.
Take the whole joint away.
I thought that he'd patch things up with Canada. He got a bit hot under the collar about them playing the comments from Ronald Reagan saying tariffs are a really bad thing.
Yeah.
Someone says, was Ahmedabad, was that the city in India where the plane crashed? Oh, recently, was it? Was it Ahmedabad? Mm. I don't know. Hmm. Mm. All right.
Okay.
Mm. Question number six. You've got to choose a new category here. A lick of paint, oranges and apples, hippos and rhinos, hungry, hungry.
I'll go the thick-skinned beasties.
Thick-skinned beasties. All right, you're three on the trot. Mm. Off to the pachyderms.
Yeah.
Question number six. Which two colours are used to name the two species of African rhinos?
Black and white.
That's right, black and white.
Although, a little sort of fun factoid, the white rhino isn't particularly, not even pale white, but because it has a top lip that is wide, somebody misunderstood the Afrikaans, which is almost the same word, wide, and thought that the Afrikaners were referring to a white rhino. But they were actually, in the Afrikaans, it's actually a wide rhino.
A wide rhino. I'm reliably informed that Air India Flight 171 was a scheduled passenger flight from Ahmedabad Airport in India.
That's right.
So that's where the plane crashed from. Didn't they figure out that there was pilot error, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, or was it in the wing that the wing instead of giving uplift plunged the plane down?
Yeah, it was some setting. There was some flight setting. I think the pilots had stuffed up for some reason. Bob from Coolangup says that you, Trevor, have a serious case of Trump derangement syndrome. You could do, Trevor. Yeah. Get it checked out.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. Completely.
David from Singleton says, what is it about the ABC and Trump derangement syndrome? No, it's only Trevor.
Oh, I don't think you'll find that.
I think Trump derangement syndrome is pretty widespread, actually, David, from Singleton. Question number 7, hippos and rhinos, yes?
Yep.
In which series of animated films does Yada Pinkett Smith voice Gloria the hippo?
Madagascar.
Correct. Yes, Madagascar. Gloria the Hippo. Yada Pinkett Smith voiced Gloria the Hippo. Little Brother Trucker says $100, says the White House ballroom will be called the Charlie Kirk Memorial Ballroom. Oh, maybe. Oh, maybe. It'd be tempting for Mr. Trump to name it after himself. I would not be surprised. Ingrid says, go, Trev, you come as you are. Righto, question number 8. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's my usual thing to, once I'm on a category, to plough on with it. So,
okay. What is a rhinoceros's weakest sense?
This could be bomb out point, but I think a lot of indications say it's his sight.
Correct. Yes, the sights. Hippos can't see much, apparently. John of the Jungle in Indonesia says, Phil, could you play another Bee Gees song tonight to create some debate? No, we won't be doing that. Thank you very much for the suggestion. Rebecca in Springwood says, gosh, it sounded like a lot like you just said that all your listeners that don't like Trump are deranged. No, Rebecca. No. Rebecca, are you up with this Trump derangement syndrome joke that's going around in America? That's all it is. Yeah. All righty. Question number 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Hippos and rhinos. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
Again, could be bomb out point, but I'll say Egypt.
Not Egypt. Trev, okay. No. Thank you. Not Egypt, no. Nicely played, though. Very good work. Hippos and rhinos. David says, I heard it's going to be called the Monica Lewinsky Ballroom. Oh, there are so many possibilities, David, aren't there? There really are. Annette from Pitt Town says, it's the ABC, so of course you've got TDS. Oh, dear. 1-300-800-222 is the number. All righty, let's get to Albert in Townsville. Hello, Albert.
Hello, good night, Philip.
How are you? All right.
Yeah, pretty good.
What's up?
I heard something on the news today which I would have bet any money on.
Mm-hmm.
Trump said he wouldn't mind running again in 2028.
I've heard this, yeah. I know he said this. And I think I heard, who's that bloke, John Bannon, his former advisor, say he will be president in 2028, just get used to it. Well, I don't see how that can happen because it's he can't if you look at the US Constitution.
He'll try and change the Constitution before then, I reckon.
Yeah, that could be pretty tricky. He's got to get a 2/3 majority through the Congress, and I think that's going to be a bit difficult. One of the stunts that is being proposed, I'm sure you're up with this, Albert, is that he runs as vice president. And he runs as the running mate to, I don't know, J.D. Vance or something. That presumes that Vance wins. Then Vance steps down and he, as vice president, takes over. Now, even Donald Trump says, I think they couldn't stop me doing that, he said, but I don't think the people would like it. But the Constitution says he can't do that either. It says if you're not eligible to be president, you can't be. You're not eligible to be vice president.
Oh, true.
So I don't see how he would get there, not unless the Supreme Court completely roll over and have their tummy tickled, which is not impossible, Albert, I suppose. Question number 9. We're in hippos and rhinos. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses? It's not Egypt.
Well, I reckon it'd be an African country. I'll just take a guess. It mightn't even be any rhinos there, but I'll say Kenya.
No, not rhinos, hippos. Hippopotamuses.
Oh, hippos, I mean. I'll say Kenya.
Not Kenya, but it knocks out another one. Yeah. Albert, yeah. Good on you. Thanks, Albert.
Okay,
bye.
Good night.
Bye. Julie says, did you see Prunella Scales died tonight? Yeah, we did, Julie. We played a tribute to Prunella Scales earlier on. Stuart's got the right answer to this question. What about Tom from Yuengai? G'day, Tom.
Good evening.
Evening. Question number 9 brought to hippos and rhinos. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
South Africa.
Not South Africa. No, sorry, no, not South Africa. All right, Jim from Banksia Park. G'day, Jim.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. Question number 9, hippos and rhinos. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
Probably the next one down south of Egypt on the Nile, but I'll just try to figure out which one it is. Try Uganda.
It's not Uganda. At least we're in Central Africa and not West Africa, eh? Jeff from Mount Moriah. G'day, Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, man. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Pretty.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, pretty good. Only just, but yeah, okay.
Just had a big downpour a few weeks down. The heavens, big rain, thunderstorm, so it's good for the farmers and graziers.
Yeah, I'm glad it's raining. Okay, which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
I've got no idea.
neither does anybody else, it seems. Come on.
Before I bum out, if it's okay, I'll just say hello to all my fellow man walkers, the man walk at Redcliffe, Queensland. So Dennis and the crew, they'll be walking Thursday. So I'll say goodnight. Thanks very much. I thought I'd get one, but thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye-bye. You could have a crack at it. Mike, no, that's not correct. Moose in East Gippsland says, if Donald Trump can run for a third term, so can Barack Obama. True enough. Annette says, Obama did have 3 terms. He was pulling Biden strings. Oh, Annette, come on. Ray from Yeronga. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Question number 9. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
What about Botswana?
That's a good guess, because that's got lots of animals, hasn't it? But it's not right. Mm. It's not Botswana.
Hey, I watched the clip of the Bee Gees and read his lips.
Yes.
And he said down, Robin.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. And I reckon Robin and Morris are sitting up in heaven having a giggle.
Having a good laugh.
Yeah, and saying they fell for the old down in Massachusetts trick again.
In the traffic, when we were discussing an issue last night about all the fantastic journeys around the world that people had made, you know, the bus journeys from London down to Johannesburg and so on, I did have an amusing text from someone who said, I hitchhiked to Massachusetts once and found it a very dimly lit city. Yeah. Hey, Ray, what's the answer here? Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
No, I did. I had a go. I said Botswana.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Botswana. You did too.
And thanks, Ray. Gujarat. Gujarat's the cap. It's in Gujarat, the island. What's the place where the plane crash was?
No, that was in the... Oh, it's in the state of Gujarat. Yeah, Ahmedabad.
Yeah, it's the capital of Gujarat.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah. See you, mate.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, thank you. Loz in Lynham. G'day, Loz. Sorry you've been waiting there. Hello.
No, that's all right. How are you going?
Pretty good. Hippos and rhinos. Which country has the largest population of hippopotamuses?
I'm a bit of a hippo fan, actually. I like the plural hippopotami. And I believe it's Zambia.
It is Zambia, yes, it is. Zambia, for some reason, has the largest population of hippopotamuses. I don't know why it has more than Botswana, but it does.
Yeah, it must be a big wildlife reserve or something like that.
Question number 10. So that's, oh no, that's not it for hippos and rhinos, is it? No. Sorry, we must be up to question number 9. No, question number 10, sorry. Hippos and rhinos is where we are, if you like, or you can move.
What else have we got on offer, sorry?
We've got hippos and rhinos, one left there, or otherwise Hungary, Hungary, a lick of paint, or oranges and apples.
Let's go a lick of paint.
A lick of paint. Question number 10. Which type of paint is known as aquarelle in French?
Like a brand or like a...
No, which type of paint is known as aquarelle in French?
Oh, watercolour.
Correct, yes. Watercolour, aquarelle. Watercolour. All right, staying with lick of paint.
Yeah, but just as an aside, what if Donald ran for Congress and became Speaker of the House and then had them two step down? That could be another sneaky way.
Well, that could work. And here's an interesting thing. Apparently, you don't even have to be elected to Congress to be Speaker.
True.
You can be appointed. So that is, but mind you, that's a long bow though, Loz, because that means he's standing in the queue there. That's true, but he'd have to make sure that JD Vance resigns, the vice president resigns. Is the speaker next? I think the speaker might be next.
Yeah.
Maybe the secretary.
Coming out of House of Cards or something.
It's the sort of thing you would see, that's right. Actually, you wouldn't see it on the West Wing. Not even they would get that fanciful. I don't think he can stand for president again. Not as the law stands, and I can't see him getting the law changed because I think the states have to agree too if you want to change the constitution, a majority of the states. And a majority of the state legislatures have to support the constitutional change. I don't know the Republicans would necessarily have that.
Yeah.
Question number 11. A lick of paint is where we are. Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western, Paint Your Wagon? Where is Kim when you need him?
Oh, gosh. Well, before my time, Paint Your Wagon.
Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western, Paint Your Wagon?
I don't know, Paul Newman?
Not Paul Newman, no. Fair enough sort of style of guess, but no, it's not correct. Zambia is named for the Zambezi River, and the Zambezi River is full of hippos, says my texter. They're very dangerous animals, hippos, aren't they? They kill more humans than crocs, I think. They really don't. You know how you see them floating around in water all the time? Apparently they come out at night and graze. That's where they get their food from. Who's been hanging on here? Mike from Oak Park. Sorry, Mike. Hello.
Oh, don't be sorry. I've been quite entertaining.
A lick of paint. Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western, Paint Your Wagon? As I said, where's Kim when you need him?
Yeah, I would not have a clue, but I'll say Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is not correct, no.
Thank you.
No, he was maybe plying his trade in 1969, but not in Paint Your Wagon, as far as we are aware. Cameron's in South Perth. Are you still in the hospital, Cameron?
I am.
How are you going? Yeah, you're travelling.
Oh, pretty roughly. I was scheduled for surgery yesterday and it was postponed. I was scheduled for surgery today and it was postponed.
Oh, no, that gets frustrating. That gets frustrating, doesn't it? Because you have to get all prepped for it and you're mentally prepped for it and then, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, what are they saying now, tomorrow?
Yeah, well, they say tomorrow, but they say, you know, there's not that many casualties coming in, they take preference.
Yeah.
But I've got to be prepped at 6 a.m.,
yeah.
And 4 o'clock, I'm stood down. And then I've started for what's that, 12, 16 hours.
Haven't had anything to eat.
No.
No. All right. Well, Cameron, fingers crossed for you.
I don't know the bloke's name, but he played the drunken rider on the drunken horse.
Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western Paint Your Wagon? No idea?
No.
Okay. All right, Cameron, sorry to hear what's happened, and I hope things improve tomorrow for you. That's pretty frustrating. Patrick from Brunswick. Hello, Patrick.
Good evening.
Question number 11, A Lick of Paint. Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western Paint Your Wagon?
My musicals have never been something that I've been fond of, especially not that era. Frank Sinatra.
Not Frank Sinatra. Thanks, Patrick. No, not Frank Sinatra. Karen from Altona. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. I think I'm good.
Which actor plays Sylvester Newell in the 1969 musical Western Paint Your Wagon?
I'll just say Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood is correct. I would give the world to see how I used to be when I had no axe to grind except for chopping wood. Day was day and night was night, wrong was never right. Didn't matter where I went as much as where I stood. I had dreams average size. There were stars in the skies, not my eyes. Then I got gold fever. No rock and rollin' girl and fellow stuff can cure the gold fever. Nothing can help you but the yellow stuff. Yeah, what do you make of Clint Eastwood singing, Karen?
Yeah, it's good. He's been in so many movies.
What's that? Oh, he's done so many movies, yeah. Grayman says, if you watch the Four Corners episode on Trump, there are people who believe you would just say, I control the military and I'm staying. Yeah, that'd be civil war, I think, Grayman. That would be civil war. Look, I don't know. Maybe in America that's going to happen. Who knows? Yeah, I hope not. Susie says, I just looked up Hugh Jackman. He would have been 1 year old in 1969. Elizabeth says, who knew Clint Eastwood could sing? Well, Elizabeth, I would say after that example, it's a moot point myself, but you might have a different view. Question 11, A Lick of Paint. What are we doing here?
What about the oranges and apples?
Hang on, 5, 9, 10, 11. We're up to question number 12, sorry. Oranges and apples, yep, we could do that. The House of Orange Nassau is the royal family of which country?
Ooh, good question. Orange Nassau. Okay, royal family, I'll say, could be anything really. I'll say Denmark.
Not Denmark. Thank you, Karen. No, not Denmark. David and Keith in South Australia. G'day, Dave. Hi, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. How are you?
Oh, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, no good. Question number 12.
You sound all right.
Oranges and apples. The House of Orange Nassau is the royal family of which country?
I can actually think. Well, I think I know this one. Netherlands.
Correct. Yes, it is. Yes. It's Holland. Yes, the Netherlands. The House of Orange and Nassau is the royal family of the Netherlands. I suppose the orange part was the clue there, yeah?
Oh, definitely. And I knew it anyway, so.
Question 13. Question 13. We can stay here in oranges and apples, or we could move to A Lick of Paint, hippos and rhinos, or Hungary, Hungary.
What was the one after? Did you say lick of paint or something?
A lick of paint, oranges and apples, hippos and rhinos, Hungary, Hungary.
I tried a lick of paint.
A lick of paint. Question number 13. Which team sport was invented in 1981 by Hayes Knoll and Charles Gaines?
Now, the clue is in the category, isn't it? Lick of.
Oh, I didn't say that. I just said the category is a lick of paint.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud.
That's all right. That's all right.
So, was it in the Olympics? It's in 1981, you said, didn't you? 1981? Paintball.
Correct. Yes.
God, I too.
Correct, yes. Which team sport was invented in 1981 by Hayes Knoll and Charles Gaines? It was paintball. Question the clue in a lick of paint. Question number 14. You can stay in a lick of paint if you like, or you can move.
Oh, I'll stay. See if I got one right.
Which plant-based oil is the most common type of oil used in oil paints?
Plant-based oil. Linseed oil.
Correct, yes.
I do a bit of that work, so there you go.
You do a bit of painting yourself, David?
Yeah, I'm going to get into it. I've done a bit of drawing lately, but I'm going to sort out two paints tomorrow, I hope, and finish off one.
Oh, good. What are you painting? Are you painting your property, or are you painting Keith, or are you painting the silos, or what are you doing?
Well, it could finish up being wall paint, though, because the kitchen needs a paint, so.
Oh.
It's got to be a picture, actually. I'm trying to correct the blue sky.
Oh, okay. All righty, question number 15, a lick of paint. Well, last one, if you like.
Yep.
I see a red door is the opening line of which 1966 song?
Paint It Black.
Correct.
Rolling Stones.
Very good. Rolling Stones, Paint It Black.
I see a line of cars and they are painted black. Flowers and my love hope never to come back. I see people turn their heads and quickly look away.
Yes, all right. Thank you for the text. The 2024 movie Civil War features the third term president. It's a good movie. Yeah, it is a good movie, actually. David?
Yeah.
We're up to question 16. No more paint, no more geography. So oranges and apples, Hungary, or hippos and rhinos?
Try the oranges and apples.
Oranges and apples. What type of fruits are Blenheim orange?
Blenheim orange. Oh, I'll go with orange.
Not an orange. Oh. Thanks, David. See ya. Bye-bye. Well, that was there, always waiting there, I suppose. What's the Ian's from Dover in Tassie. G'day, Ian.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Oranges and apples. What type of fruit is a Blenheim orange?
I hope I live in the right place to get this correct. An apple.
Correct. Yes, it is. I don't know whether Blenheim oranges were ever grown in Tassie, were they? A lot of varieties were.
I'm not familiar with the name, though I've bumped into a few different ones around here. Yeah.
What was my favourite? The Cox's orange pippin. That was a beautiful apple.
Yes, I used to get some off grafted trees. They used to grow around the bottom on the old wood. Only good for three or four weeks. They didn't keep a long time.
No, they didn't keep, and they were only a small apple, but gee, they were delicious. Really sweet. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Ross from Tarragindi says, Phil, there is no such country as Holland. In fact, in the Netherlands, it's been legislated for it to be illegal for locals to refer to it as Holland. Really? I didn't know that. Did you know that, Ian?
There are many things I don't know, and that's one of them.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. What do you mean it's illegal? Is it illegal to refer to the Netherlands as Holland? Where does the name Holland come from? I don't think. Ross, is that right? I mean, I'm not doubting you, but... All right, question number 17. Oranges and apples.
Stay there. Yep.
What type of orange is traditionally used to make marmalade?
Seville.
Correct. Seville oranges, which are only available for a short period of time each year. And you make
it should only be given to a very good marmalade cook.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is it difficult to make marmalade? I've never made it.
I've had a few different marmalades over the years, but there's one person who uses Seville's, and she follows her father's recipe, and it is to fight a war for.
Oh, really? That good?
It's really nice.
Hang on. What makes a good marmalade? I mean, I've tasted many marmalades. Don't they all pretty much taste the same?
This lady makes a, it's just to die for. It's really, 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 really nice. And I've eaten a lot of different marmalade.
What makes a good marmalade? Because the Seville oranges are a bit bitter, aren't they? And that's the reason you use them, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I imagine it's umami or, I don't know, my favourite marmalade if I can ever get the jar of her marmalade.
What's her name, Ian? We might put out a broadcast call.
No. When I see you stick the money on the fridge, I'll think about it.
Hang on, Ian. Come on. Well, let's get the broadcast out here. I'm going to say it's Madge's Marmalade. She lives in Dover.
That'll do. You're just out of town a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Madge, we want a jar of marmalade, otherwise Ian's never coming on the Mighty Challenge ever again. Question 18, oranges and apples. Apparently on the Holland thing, by the way, Holland is basically the equivalent of a state or province in the Netherlands. I'm not sure how it came to be thought of as the whole country, says Jen. Mark in Bendigo says the same thing. The Holland is historically a region of the Netherlands, not the whole country. Oh, so they get annoyed. So it's a bit like sort of, you know, if you called Western Australia the whole of Australia. I see, they get annoyed, okay. All right. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Someone said a good reason.
Someone said that means that Australia could have been ended up as New Netherlands, could we? I suppose so, yeah. All right. Liz from Ballarat says, I was always confused by the Holland issue. Many moons ago, I'm sure schools taught there was Holland and there was Belgium, and together they became the Netherlands. Yeah, no, but there's still Belgium. Question 18. I'm moving on. Oranges and apples.
Stay there.
First cultivated in Iowa in 1872. What is the world's most widely grown variety of apple?
The world's most widely grown variety.
The world's widely grown variety of apple.
A Jonathan.
No, I thought you might get this, being where you are. No. Hey, by the way, I've got her name. Ha-ha, ha-ha. Sucked in, Ian, because, see, you might think you're the only informant of mine in Dover and Tassie, but that's not correct. I've got another one. And my other one, who I will protect their anonymity, but the Seville marmalade maker in Dover might well be a lady named Kay. I'm told. Ian.
My lips are permanently sealed.
No, they're
otherwise
not.
Otherwise, my toast will be unadorned.
Oh, you're just concerned you're never going to get another jar. That's all.
I want my toast to be adorned with that marmalade, if possible.
Kay, how about you whack a jar in the post? Come on, Kay. You know you want to do this.
I know who set that text in too.
No, you don't.
I might.
I'm not saying a word. See you later.
No. Bye.
See you, bye. What? No, Robin, that's not correct. Debs, that's not correct either. Karen, that's not correct. I'm getting plenty of answers. One particular apple, but it's not correct. It's like Jackie from the Pilbara says, it'd be like if you call all of WA Perth, which happens frequently. Some of us don't live in Perth. Yeah, I suppose that's right. John in the jungle says, yes, Holland is one of the 12 states of the Netherlands. All righty, Paul from Kalgoorlie. G'day, Paul.
Oh, g'day. How are you going?
Not too bad. Kalgoorlie must be rolling in cash these days with the price of gold. Wow.
Well, look, there's plenty of stuff going on. There's new mines opening up and
the main streets. And the price of gold, I mean, I'm sure the main street's being dug up, isn't it, Paul? Surely.
Well, they've got the super pit up the eastern end of town. Have you ever been to Kalgoorlie? It's
a big hole. Giant, it's a mighty big hole.
And Northern Star, who owns it, they keep wanting to expand westward, which is unfortunately where a lot of the old town is. So they actually drill underneath. So, yeah. I mean, what happened was they built Kalgoorlie, the town, right on the edge of where they found the gold. But unfortunately, there's gold underneath where the streets are. So, yeah.
There's gold in them, the foundations of the town, you're saying?
Yeah, it much like paint your wagon, which was an earlier referral to a question that you had this evening. So,
well, I reckon, Paul, I'm sorry.
How they dug underneath the town, so, yeah.
I reckon the owners of the super pit will have to buy everyone in town a caravan and say go where you like because we're going in.
Well, there's an interesting story up there because there's an area of town that's east of the town, which is a very old area, and the mines have always wanted it, but it's actually owned freehold and stuff like that. So they've actually, I think the state government stopped them, or they didn't want them, you know, selling houses, so they left it for the mine to try and buy them out. But there's still a few residents who are holding onto the land and they don't want to sell it, so... It's interesting, yeah.
Well, it's fine. What is it? Whatever it is, $3,000 an ounce or something, or whatever it is.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I remember back in about 25 years ago, gold was about $300 an ounce, even less.
Yeah, well, that's right. It sat at less than $1,000 an ounce for a long time, didn't it? That's right.
Well, less than that. It was, you know, $200 to $300.
Yeah.
And it was there for a long time.
James in Mount Garnet says that was like an I'll have what he's having moment on the show with his description of his auntie's marmalade. Come on.
I was just thinking about the Netherlands. Now, I grew up with some Dutch people and they referred to it as Holland. They didn't say Netherlands. They said Holland.
John,
I mean, it was like interchangeable. They'd say Netherlands or Holland, but there was nothing like, you know, banned from saying Holland.
John from Denniston says, just to add to the confusion, the country's official tourism site is holland.com.
Yeah. Well, who knows what's going on?
Who knows? You know what, Paul? That is a good global question. Who knows what's going on? Exactly.
I mean, what's happening with the White House? How can you knock the White House down? Well, I don't understand.
He just did. He just did. He sent a...
Like, don't you have to have permission or something? Don't you have to
get a DA? Don't you have to get a DA or something?
Yeah.
What if Albo got a backhoe and started hacking into half the Parliament House? Oh, no, hang on. No, the better equivalent would be, I suppose, if he got a backhoe and hacked down the back half of the lodge.
Yeah, but the White House is, like, more important than the lodge. The White House is, like, everyone knows the White House. So, yeah. I mean, the lodge is... iconic, but the White House is it's a name which is equated with America.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. The world's gone nuts. I don't understand.
No, the world has gone nuts, Paul. I agree with that. Question 18. First cultivated in Iowa in 1872, what's the world's most widely grown variety of apple?
I was thinking about this. I was in America. I used to eat apples. They have Granny Smiths and they have all these delicious, you know, like Golden Delicious and things like that, and Orange Delicious and Red Delicious. Oh, I don't know. I'll say Granny Smith because I'm sure they have Granny Smiths. I'm sure I bought Granny Smith apples over there.
Yep, they may well have, Paul, but it's not the most widely grown. Thanks, mate. See ya.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Bye-bye. The green ones, the green grannies, yes. Best things for apple pies, although others say you can make apple pies with other things too. Tom in Surry Hills. G'day, Tom.
Hello. How are you?
Pretty good.
That's good.
What's the most widely grown variety of apple? It was first cultivated in Iowa in 1872.
I don't know if it was cultivated in Iowa, but I hope it's the right answer because I think your last caller said it. I think it's a Red Delicious.
Correct. It is. Yes, it is. The Red Delicious apple is the most widely grown variety of apple. There are all sorts of variants of the Red Delicious too. Question number 19, oranges and apples. One left there, if you like. Otherwise, you could move to hippos and rhinos or Hungary.
Let's go with Hungry Hungry.
Ah, off to Hungry Hungry. Okay, Tom. Any family or lineage connections here, Tom?
No, just the Rubik's Cube.
Ah, you're hoping for that. Question, I'm saying nothing. Question 19. Which Hungarian composer was born on the 25th of March, 1881?
Oh, well, that's me done for the night, I think.
That was honest, a bit of Hungarian goulash straight across the face, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, it was hot, spluttering, and very brief. But thank you. I have no idea.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Right, see you later. Bye-bye. Tara's in the truck. Hi, Tara.
Hey, Phil. How are you, mate?
Very well. Very well. Question 19. Which Hungarian composer was born on the 25th of March, 1881?
1881. Hungarian composer.
Oh,
crikey.
I know, crikey.
I knew the Apple one, but Hungarian, well, this is going to be a complete guess. Hungarian composer. Oh, who was born in Hungary?
Who was born in Hungary?
I'm just going to have a complete guess and say Strauss.
Yep, not correct. Sorry, Tara, but, you know, right, it gets us going and knocks it out for somebody. Where are we? Steve in Perth. G'day, Steve.
Good evening. How are you going?
Not bad. Which Hungarian composer was born on the 25th of March, 1881?
The only one I can think of, was it Franz Liszt?
Not Franz Liszt. No, not Franz Liszt. Jeff from Jalora. G'day, Jeff.
Yeah, g'day, Philip. How are you?
Pretty well. Hungarian composer?
Yeah. I just wanted to add one thing to the Holland thing. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Because at least I can say something tonight, is that most people would say they're from Holland because they actually are, because they're the two biggest sections of the Netherlands.
Okay.
North and South Holland. So they're not wrong in saying they're from Holland. It's like saying you're from New South Wales, but
There are lots.
But you have Zealand and other areas of Netherlands as well. Anyway, there you go.
There we go. Thank you.
At least I said something tonight.
Give us a Hungarian composer. Nope.
How about something like, I've got to think of a composer first. How about Shostakovich?
Not Shosta. No.
Oh,
thanks, Jeff. See ya. I know who will know the answer to this. It's Dave from Falconbridge. But, Dave, you're a bit further back in the queue. I'll come to you shortly. Matt from Holland Park. G'day, Matt.
Yeah, g'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Hungarian composer?
Oh, mate.
I know.
I'll go. I'm pretty sure he's Russian, but Rachmaninoff.
Rachmaninoff. No, it's not Rachmaninoff. But thanks anyway. Matt from Reservoir, one of the poshest areas of Australia. G'day, Matt.
It is, Reza.
Yeah, I know. Very well. Feel privileged to speak to a resident of Reservoir.
Matt. Well, there's in fact, there's a local sort of zany thing called The Resident.
is that really?
There is. I think they've got an Instagram page.
Oh, right.
I don't check it out that often. Okay. Yeah. The Resident.
Residents in
So many puns.
The Residents of Reservoir.
And much like the many Dutch commentators tonight, it's quite clever clocks.
Nice. Hey, tell me about this Hungarian composer, born 25th of March, 1881.
I think I can only think of one, and I'm not even sure that he's Hungarian. But Bartok, maybe?
Yes, correct.
And I can't think of anything that I can't actually think of. Oh, okay. There you go.
Béla Bartok is the Hungarian composer. All right, question number 20. We're in Hungary, but you could go to hippos and rhinos, or there is one left in oranges and apples too.
No, let's stick with Hungary.
Staying with Hungary, okay. Which Hungarian wine is traditionally grown on a small plateau near the Carpathian Mountains?
I can only think of one Hungarian. A Tokaj?
Correct. Oh, very good.
Don't mind the sticky.
Very good, Matt. You see, that's the thing about people from Reservoir. They're very knowledgeable about the refined things in life. A Tokaj is a very sweet wine. Yeah, so would you prescribe it as a sticky? You probably would.
I don't know. I'm not enough of a wine connoisseur to know.
Oh.
It's a dessert wine, though. It's like they're coming like little bottles. I think I've got a couple of bottles somewhere.
Tokay, correct. It's a Hungarian wine. All right, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. We've got 3 in Hungary, 1 in hippos, 1 in oranges and apples.
I've got a couple of Hungarian friends. I'll stick with Hungary.
Question number 21. Hungary's Ferenc Puskas, known as the Galloping Major, was one of the first international superstars of which sport?
Oh.
Ferenc Puskas, the Galloping Major.
Okay, so international superstars, sport, galloping. Does that mean it's a newish sport? Oh, this is terrible. Okay, galloping, polo.
Not polo, Matt, no. Thanks anyway. Appreciate it. Not polo. Peter from Wantirna. Any idea, Peter? Hungary's Ferenc Puskas, known as the Galloping Major, was one of the first international superstars of which sport?
I'll have a go at soccer.
Correct. Football. Yes, he was. He was an international soccer star. Very nice, Pete. I tell you what, I'll put you on hold because we do have some news coming up. Gee, we've had a lot of contributions to all the provinces of the Netherlands. Thank you. All right, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 left, but for the moment, we have to complete a little thing we call
the Mighty Challenge.
And Peter from Wantirna was up on deck. Pete, good evening to you. Welcome back.
Good day, Mr. Clark. I've got to say, I'm trying to get up. I'm a little over-medicated due to a suspected cracked rib.
Oh, no, that's no good.
Hey,
you know how you got, how you correctly answered that Hungary's Ferenc Puskas, known as the Galloping Major, was one of the first international superstars of which sport? There's an Australian connection here because Lorenzo said, I think he coached South Melbourne in the 90s in the National Soccer League. He was very overweight and couldn't speak English.
Wacko.
Well, there you go, you see. That's right.
At least he wasn't Elena Dobbins.
That's true.
Elena's daddy.
Elena's father, that's true. All right, question number 22. By the way, that hurricane in Jamaica has just about made landfall. It's anyway, we'll see what news emerges. Now, Peter, question number 22. Where you've got two left in Hungary. One in hippos and rhinos, one in oranges and apples.
Hippo, please.
Hippos and hippo.
I'm trying to get up. I'm very sore. Sorry, fella.
That's all right. The title character of which Roald Dahl favourite is orphaned when his parents are eaten by a rhino?
Goodness gracious me. James. I don't know.
Sorry, what's your answer?
James and the giant peach.
Correct. Yes, very good.
I made that up.
James and the giant peach is correct. All right, that's it for hippos and rhinos. So I've only got 3 left. There are 2 in Hungary and 1 left in oranges and apples.
Oranges and apples, please.
Last one in oranges and apples. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Estonia?
Not Estonia. Sorry, Peter, no, not Estonia. Thank you, Latif. Latif says Lorenzo's right about Puskas. He was the coach. Puskas was coach of St. Melbourne Hellas, which is Ange Postecoglou's old team. Oh, there you go. There you go. thank you, Lee in Brisbane, about the pun on Lionel Messi's name. All righty. Who's next up here? We have Keith from Safety Bay in WA. Sorry, Keith, you've been waiting on there. You get a chance to win here. Only three lifts. We're in oranges and apples. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Is it the Netherlands?
Not the Netherlands. Not the Netherlands. Gee, it's been on our minds, hasn't it? Paul in Geelong. G'day, Paul.
There you go, Phil.
Pretty good. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Not really sure what you're referring to, but I'll go Belarus.
Not Belarus, no. Not Belarus. All right. Joe from Mount Dandenong. G'day, Joe.
Good morning, Phil.
Question 23. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Is that when they booted the Romanian dictator?
Not Romania? Not Romania, no. Sorry, Joe, not Romania. Peter in Bendigo. Hello, Peter.
It's the mighty Phil.
Hello.
Hello.
What do you reckon?
I reckon with the hippos, apparently one of them wanted to study at a university and study the brain, and so he went to the hippo campus.
Oh, nice. I don't mind a hippo joke. That's pretty good, Pete.
Thank you, Phil.
Question 23. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Well, it could be a play on words here because it's certainly not, it's not Ireland, but I think there's a bit of orange stuff that goes on there. And then I think is there some bizarre cold climate can actually grow oranges on trees? That sounds a bit unfathomable.
The Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
So we are going to say, Phil, roll of drums, Latvia.
Not Latvia. Okay. Sorry, Pete. Thank you, mate. Not Latvia. No. Dave in Falconbridge. G'day, Dave.
Hey, Phil. It was funny, last night's show.
I knew you would have known the Hungarian composer Béla Bartók. You would have known that, wouldn't you?
Well, I knew that his tunes were based on Hungarian folk dances.
Yeah, they were.
But, it was funny last night after the show because I checked the latest upload of Midnight Special and it had both the Bee Gees and Genesee.
Is that right?
Hosted by Helen Reddy, and Helen Reddy sang To Love Somebody with the Bee Gees. It's a great episode, actually. Episode 135. As far as this question, I don't know.
In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
I think it was where that horrible dictator was. Someone said Latvia.
Someone said Latvia. It's not Latvia.
Oh. Macedonia.
Macedonia, sorry. No. Thanks, Dave. No. If Holland is the only region of the Netherlands and not the whole of the Netherlands, would it be more accurate to call Holland the Nether Regions? Maybe. Kane, yes, correct, Kane. Who's got the right answer here? Tony in Ballarat. G'day, Tony.
G'day, Phil. How am I? Well, tennis court in the early 50s turns 96. 2 days ago, Frank Sedgman.
Frank Sedgman turns 96. Wow, how about that?
I'm not sure he's still with us.
Is he still with us? No, he's not still with us, is he?
I'm quite sure.
Thanks for that, Tony. I always enjoy your sporting memorabilia. Now, what do you reckon? In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
this one Czechoslovakia became Czech Republic and Slovakia?
No. No, it's not. Sorry, mate. No, that is not correct. Where are we? Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Pretty good. Where did the Orange Revolution take place?
Your pardon?
Where did the Orange Revolution take place?
I don't know. What was the question again?
In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
Would it be Greece?
Not Greece. No, not Greece. Salastia says a documentary, Ange and the Boss, details Puskas and Captain Ange Postecoglou's relationship as manager and captain of South Melbourne. So there you go. The great Hungarian star Ferenc Puskas, known as the Galloping Major, was down there as the coach of South Melbourne. All right, Bernard from Warimba. Hi, Bernard.
Hello there. Hi, Phil.
Hi. In 2004 and 2005, the Orange Revolution took place in which Eastern European country?
It was Ukraine.
Correct. It was Ukraine. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Ukraine. All right, we've got two left. They're both in Hungary, Hungary.
Let's go there.
Which European country was known as Upper Hungary until the early 20th century?
Moldova?
Not Moldova. No, not Moldova. Trev from Surface Paradise. Hi, Trev.
Oh, hello, Philip. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. Question 24. Ooh. You win from here. Which European country was known as Upper Hungary until the early 20th century?
Upper Hungary. Look, Hungary is just one of those countries with a great name. It's like Turkey. Well, it's now called Turkey. But
Turkey, yeah.
Turkey, yeah. Upper Hungary. I'll go Estonia.
Not Estonia. Sorry, Trev, no, not Estonia. Gaylen in Bothwell. Hello, Gaylen.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Very well. Help us out here. Which European country was known as Upper Hungary until the early 20th century?
I'll say Romania.
Not Romania. Oh, no, we've had Romania. Oh, so you can have another one.
Oh, Bulgaria.
Not Bulgaria either.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Who's got the answer here? Not too many. Not too many. John from Parramatta. G'day, John.
How you going there, Phil?
Pretty good.
Czechoslovakia.
I'll give you another guess at it.
Well, it's now known as the Czech Republic.
So what do you want to go with?
It's now known as the Czech Republic.
No, not the Czech Republic. You don't know.
Can I just say, you said Bella. It's actually, there's an accent on that E. It's called Bela.
Bela Bartok. I knew that. I saw that.
And the wine's Tokaj.
Oh, is it? Is it Bartok, even though there's an accent on the O in the Bartok? What? How do you
Bela Bartok.
Okay. Even though there's an accent on the O.
Well, that's a genuine Hungarian told me that.
Okay.
I don't know.
There you go. Anyway.
Upper Hungary. I can't believe it's not Czech.
No, it's not. Sorry, John. perilously close, as they say. Little brother trucker, yes. All right, come on. We've got lines free. The answer's waiting in front of us now. We're on question 24. What's it going to be? 1-300-800-222. Which European country was known as Upper Hungary until the early 20th century? Gary's got the right answer. Elizabeth's got the right answer. Anne's got the right answer on the text line. Katie's got the right answer. What about Phil from Drysdale? G'day, Phil. Hi, Phil. What's the answer?
Slovakia.
Correct. It must be Slovakia, yes, if it's not the Czech Republic. All right, well, that puts us in the box seat here because we're to question 25. And to win. In which year of the 1950s did the Hungarian uprising against the Soviet Union begin?
Oh, the 50s.
1954. Jay in Forbes. G'day, Jay.
Hi, I'll just be having a guess at this. 1953.
No, it's not 53 or 54. Well, Luke from Atherton. G'day, Luke. In which year of the 50s did the Hungarian uprising against the Soviet Union begin?
I'm going to go with 1958.
No, it's not 1958. Sorry, Luke, no. Not 1958. Ray in Perth on the road. G'day, Ray.
Hi, how you going there? 1956.
It was 1956. Yes, it was. It was 1956 when the Hungarian uprising took place, and that means, of course, if you've correctly answered question 25, then you correctly win the Mighty Challenge tonight. So, hooray for you! On you, Ray. Good stuff. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, bud.
I'll put you on hold. We'll get some details from you. Yes, it was 1956 when that occurred. It was a huge moment in international politics, wasn't it?
At the end of a six-day fight that astonished the world and shook the Kremlin to its foundations, Hungary was free. Free to fraternize on its own borders and rush in supplies to the stricken city of Budapest along roads littered with burnt-out red tanks, disabled by almost unarmed men fired by passion for liberty. Flaring swiftly from student demonstrations into open revolution, the pent-up hatreds of oppression sent Russian might reeling and forced withdrawal of the red yoke. But even as these scenes were recorded, rumors flared of the re-entry of Russian forces and new fighting. The beautiful city of Budapest, scarred by conflict, again faces a Russian onslaught, even before the debris of the fight for freedom is cleared from the streets.
Yes, it was huge as well. All right, good, nice challenge, everybody. Thank you. Diana from Woodnelling says, I think it was a great quiz. I slept through a lot of it. Thank you, Di. Remember the fight in the water polo match between the USSR and Hungary at the 56 Olympics in Melbourne? Yes, they're right. It was. It was huge. It was played out all over the world, the conflict between Russia, forces of what was seen as communism, in the great Cold War battles of the post-war. Right, nice challenge, everybody. Here's a little bit of thinking music from Béla Bartók. Shall I well and truly put Diana Woodnelling to sleep now, haven't I?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.